You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life. Forgive us our sins, our little sins and our big sins, all for the sake of your great Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his all for us on his cross. We ask you, God, for the sake of Jesus, forgive us our sins. Amen. The cross of Jesus Christ was for real. It was not in gold, metal, or leaded glass. It was a plain wooden thing, standing starkly against the sky. A real man died there, for real people. Lent is for real people, to point them, to direct them to the real cross of a real man, really dying for the real sins of the world. All too often, Lent has become a kind of religious exercise, a sort of ritual, something like a play where everyone does his appointed part, all lovely, planned, and set to music. Behind that kind of stage production, when it becomes that, the reality disappears. If there is anything to Lent at all, it is the cross of Jesus Christ. There you see a piece of raw life. It isn't a stage at all, but the world in which we live. In that world, a real man died for real people. Because of his death, there is real forgiveness for the real sins of those real people. Sins they don't like to talk about. Sins they don't want to recognize. Sins that damn and kill. When they came to the place called the Skull, they nailed Jesus to the cross there, and the two criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they are doing." That's for real. The soldiers nailing him to his cross. The people howling below that cross when it had been erected. The cross itself soaked with blood. The criminals crucified, one to the right and one to the left. And then the man in between. Of that man, his men kept saying, "There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." The man is for real, and his cross is for real. It was an outrage at the time, and it still is. It was never meant to be a genteel fixture in a stately Gothic cathedral. The men who went out to tell his story lived in the middle of a world that still considered crucifixion not a religious act, but an outrage. They said his cross was a scandalon, a fatal obstacle to faith. Not just to religious people, but to the irreligious as well. There was and there is nothing attractive about it. Except that real man crucified there that day. About 2,000 years ago, says Dom Sebastian Moore in his No Exit, at what we call the beginning of our era, a bunch of Jews were going around Palestine saying the most outlandish thing, that a naked man hung on a gibbet was the true focus of religious faith and liturgy. For such a brutal conjunction of the horribly human and the worshipful, there was and there still is absolutely no precedent in the religious history of man. Here's something different, something unusual, something unique, a one-time thing that never occurred before in this way, and has never happened since in the same way. Innocent men have died for a good cause at various times in history, but this man died for the sins of a whole world. It isn't only that he was innocent of the charges raised against him. He was altogether innocent. For some people, that means that he was not real. Actually, he was just as real as any of us. In this man, God was reconciling the world to himself on that cross, in that death, by that man. "Behold the man," said Pilate. For once he was right. "Behold the man, people everywhere. Behold the man crowned with thorns and crucified on a cross. Behold the man and see yourself. Behold the man and see what God thinks about human sin. He does not pass it off so lightly or treat it so indifferently as many people like to do. God made him to be sin for us, and this is what happened. A real man, a good man, dies. That's what happens. Sin has wages, and he took that for all of us. All of it is for real. The people gathered around his cross were real people. They are not just a painted backdrop for a beautiful drama. Their faces are real, and their emotions are real. They were a part of life then, and they are a part of life now. Some had been paid a few shekels to cry out for his death. Others were convinced that the man was dangerous and ought to be put to death. There was a lot of hate and hostility there that day, a chance to spit and scream at a victim who could not strike back. Everybody wanted to be on the winning side. It was a kind of carnival, a circus. Few tears were shed for him. In a few minutes, this strange Galilean would be dead. In a few hours, he would be buried. And in a few days, he would be forgotten. The people thought that. And some think it today. They were ordinary people. Shopkeepers, farmers, businessmen, fathers, young men falling in love and looking forward to the future. And women who thought of themselves as good housekeepers. Sure, there might have been a few hoods around, some gamblers, a squad of soldiers just carrying out orders, some tax collectors, and a few women of the streets. Every society has them. What made them act the way they did? It was a strange blend of what they understood about Jesus and what they could not understand. They had heard rumors about the revolutionary things he said and did. He was different. He kept talking about the kingdom that was on the way. He spoke with authority and with such urgency that some took him for a man trying to be king. Crowds don't make considered judgments. They could be persuaded easily that he was politically dangerous. Real men and real women can misunderstand. A lot of people misunderstood that day. But death is awfully final, even when it is the result of misunderstanding. Sin is terribly destructive, even when it is just misunderstanding. Ignorance has done as much damage in the world as malice. That's real sin, the kind we have all around us and in us. Really religious people of that time did not have such an excuse. Some of them understood all too well. They were not like the mob, but they were a part of it. Self-satisfied, religiously smug, sure of their rightness, they had to protect their own interests. It is so easy to become preoccupied with oneself, one's own way of doing things, one's own church, one's own pious devotions. So easy to forget the real man on the real cross, dying for real people like ourselves. Let no one point his finger at the people beneath the cross that day. The innocent sufferer might have had good reason for pointing his finger, but he didn't waste his time doing that. He said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they are doing." At the heart of all true religion is forgiveness. Real people, whoever they are, need forgiveness. Only the phonies and the fakers do not need forgiveness. In this real world of ours, this secular world, no man or woman alive can be for real without forgiveness. Everything else, finally, is a sham. All that pride, that self-glorification, that pious devotion, that secular irreligion, which treat forgiveness as an illusion, an acceptance of forgiveness as a weakness. The strength of true religion is forgiveness, and the heart of forgiveness is the cross, the real cross of Jesus Christ, a real man. He is not a little god created by his followers. He is not a religious figure popping up in the pages of history. This is God's Son, crucified as a real man on a real cross, proving his sonship once and for all. "Forgive them, Father," he said. "They don't know what they are doing." God does not hold still for our own little religious ways, whether they are secular or sacred. He sends his Son to be a man for us all. When that man dies, it can be described only as a horrible death. The sin in us, the oldness in us, the respectability in us are shocked by the whole thing. It's not a pretty spectacle. The wickedness of it is apparent to everybody. It tears away everything good in the world and shakes our faith in ourselves. It was meant to do that. It tears away everything that makes us look good. This is our world, and it needs redemption. This is our world, and it cannot live without his forgiveness in his cross. The death of that real man by that real instrument of torture, there is forgiveness. That's the good news of God in Jesus Christ. I know that sounds like theological language, but it isn't really. It is as secular as the world in which we live, and as divine as the God who speaks it, in the midst of the hate and ridicule, the spitting and the sneers. This man says what is in his heart. "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they are doing." His thoughts are for people. Tortured and tormented, he never forgets the people. We have trouble even agreeing with the idea of loving our enemies. He's just love and compassion all the way. When we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Jesus was talking about the Jews and the Romans, the strangers and the people at home, the non-religious and the religious. It doesn't make any difference at all. They did not know what they were doing. All were more or less following orders, performing what was expected of them, doing what they were supposed to do, their thing. This is probably the greatest condemnation our world has ever received. They don't know what they are doing. "Father, forgive them," said that real man, sent by God to be the savior of the world. It was a strong word, a manly word. It takes a real man to talk like that at a time like that. It is his word, his alone. "That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to a sick man. "Take up your mat and walk." That everyone might know why he died, he said, "Forgive them, Father." Forgiveness does not mean overlooking evil. It doesn't mean just smiling and letting bygones be bygones, or making allowances for people even when they misunderstand. God puts no premium on worthiness. It isn't that the good people are forgiven and the wicked are not. This is the good heart of God, Jesus Christ. He is God's good heart going out to people, wherever they are. He is God's good word to you, coming out of His good heart for you, forgiving you what you didn't think could be forgiven. Jesus knew His Father. When He prayed to His Father, He knew what the Father would do. If it be possible, He had said in the garden, "Let this cup pass from me." But here there are no qualifications. No, if it is possible. "Father," He said, "forgive them." A real man died on the cross that day, really forgiving the people who crucified Him. A real man died on the cross that day, paying the real price for the real sins of humanity. In Him, there's real forgiveness for real people like you and me. I need it, and so do you. It is enough to make a man repent of his sins and believe. "I, if I be lifted up," said Jesus, "will draw all men to myself." "The kindness of God," said St. Paul, "draws us to repentance." That's all it takes to accept His forgiveness. Repentance and faith. He forgives and forgives again. But only a repentant and believing man ever takes that forgiveness for himself. I take it for myself. It is the best God can give. I take it for myself. You take it for yourself. It's yours for the taking. In repentance, say to God, "Take me back, God." This is His word to you in the cross of Jesus Christ. "I will forgive your iniquity. I will remember your sin no more." Christ Jesus Himself said, "I forgive you. Go and sin no more." No more of that not knowing what you are doing. Only a whopping new life. All because of His forgiveness. All of that because of that real man who died on that real cross. That those real sins of yours might really be forgiven. Really forgiven. Amen.
Have been listening to a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Mass Media Department of the Lutheran Layman's League.